Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
It must have been about 3 or 4 months ago that I was visiting with my wife's grandparents. My wife is Embry. She's the one that did the announcements, if you don't know her. And while we were visiting her grandparents and having dinner over at their place, we were sitting in their kitchen and eating some good, very, very healthy food, because that's the way that that you eat there. After the meal, the kids kind of went off and they began to do their own thing, to play and all of that. And we were left at the table, just Em, me, and her grandma. And as the conversation went, she began to talk about how, you know, if only all these religions would understand that they all believe the exact same thing and that none of them are right and that none of them are wrong, everything would just be fine in the world. Everyone would just get along and there would be no more issues whatsoever. All the hate would go out the window. And so, you know, myself being a pastor, we got into a bit of a discussion about this because, you see, I don't agree with her about these things. And I told her, I'm like, you know what? There isn't hate in my heart for people of other faiths. There isn't hate in my heart for these people that don't believe the same things that I do. And yes, I agree. Throughout history, people have misappropriated their faith in order to do political things, like going out and doing the crusades because, you know, we want to take some things over and Jesus. But that's not what God has called us to do. That's not the essentials of what we see in God's word, in the Bible. And I said, you know, so for me, I'm not running around hating people. But I also don't think that what I believe and what they believe is the same thing. They believe a lot of different things than me. And in fact, you know, if you're saying that we all believe the same thing, that all of our truths are valid, that means that all of our distinctives that say that we're the ones that are right, we'd have to get rid of those things, which would then invalidate the whole point of what we believe in the first place. And she said, well, I disagree. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. Because you see, there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I said, well, that doesn't make sense because you just said that there's absolutely no such thing as absolute truth. She's like, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. She said, no. Like, you know, you guys can believe your thing and that's fine as long as you don't bug the people that believe this thing, because in the end, you know, it doesn't matter because all truth, it doesn't matter. They're right, you're right. And if we can all just get along, if we all agree that we're all right. And I said, that's ridiculous because my Bible says that Jesus is the only way. So if they're right, then I'm wrong. And if I'm right, then they're wrong. By this time, I'm trying really hard to be civil. Because I have a fairly logical way of thinking. A plus B equals C, you know? And this here, this relativistic stuff, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It's a little bit frustrating. And anyways, this conversation went on for a very, 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 very long time until my wife graciously brought it to a close and pulled us away from the conversation. And I do hope in my heart that something got across, that something somehow connected, that not everybody, if they believe different things, can be right. One of the things I brought up, in fact, was that, you know, let's just say that there is a God in the universe who created everything. Now, perhaps I'm not totally right about everything. Maybe I'm wrong about a few things. I know I'm wrong about a few things. And you know what? You could even make the case that there's some things that other people have right too that I don't. But at the end of the day, if there is a God in the universe, wouldn't it stand to reason that his truth, knowing all, seeing all, having created all, would be the truth? And she said, well, no, because there's no such thing as absolute truth. These arguments, they get very frustrating. But you know, they're becoming more and more prevalent as time goes on. See, we used to be in a society that thought in what's called a modernistic viewpoint. the age of modernity. And to basically sum it up, this is that idea that, you know, I think, therefore I am. It's logic rules the day. It's the physical is the thing that we look at. If you can't prove it scientifically, then it does not exist. That is modernity, and that is what we have, as the church, have been addressing, a modern culture, for years and years and years. But something has changed. We've moved into a place of post-modernity. And postmodernity has suddenly decided, you know what? Maybe there is a God. Maybe there's many. You know what? If they believe that, that's okay. Because I believe this, and as long as they don't step on my toes, all right. Because the premise of postmodernity is that there is absolutely no such thing as absolute truth. And that is the one absolute truth that they allow themselves, is that there is no absolute truth. And so as we as believers in Jesus, as we go about, and because Jesus is, you know, such an important part of our lives, as we share about the way that he's impacted us, about our beliefs with people in our community, with our friends, with our family, we're going to find more and more as time goes on that instead of being faced with, oh yeah, well, what about this thing? Can you explain this thing? They're going to say, well, that's fine for you. But that's not my truth. And in fact, if you have been regularly doing this already, sharing your faith, talking to people about who it is that you follow, about who it is that has changed your life, chances are that you have found some of these conversations that have creeped up. And the first time it came up, it probably was a bit of a slap in the face. Like, that's what? But the problem is that religions are not the same. Truth is not the same. They are not compatible. Take Buddhism and Christianity, for instance. Both talk about peace, but one strives for personal enlightenment, trying to reach this place, this higher plane. It's all about personal striving. If you do enough, if you're good enough. In addition, many forms of Buddhism actually deny that there is any kind of deity in the world. They say there's no God. There is actually atheistic Buddhists in the world, and it is a compatible way of thinking. Christianity, on the other hand, let's look at that. Christianity speaks of sacrificial love, a relationship with our Creator through no effort that wins it for ourselves of our own. We don't do the work in this. We don't strive for that relationship. The relationship has been given to us. Forgiveness of sins, those wrong things that we've done, the rejection of our Creator, and a Creator God who is deeply involved in how the world works. Furthermore, as I mentioned before, Christianity's central, undeniable tenet of faith is that Jesus has said he is the only way. It's only through him that we can find that forgiveness. Because Jesus is God's son, he paid the penalty for our rejection of the Creator's authority at the cross, and he rose again. He did the work. Now, in our postmodern Canadian culture, I've probably offended some people. You know, and maybe you're even someone that follows Jesus, and you're like, I'm offended now. How dare you say this? How dare you say that my friend who faithfully follows this other faith, or my friend who's a really good person but an atheist, how dare you say that they aren't right? This is the world that we live in, is this place where we feel this way. And listen, I apologize to you right now if I've offended you, but what I won't apologize for is the truth. While you and I may be right in some areas, wrong in different areas, God's truth is truth, and you can't get around that. If there is a God in the universe, he determines what truth is. We may see it from different sides, but at the end of the day, someone's right and someone's wrong based on his truth. And if that upsets you, if you're like, I can't listen to any more of this, I understand. And if you feel compelled to leave at this moment, we'll be sad, but we're not holding you hostage here. But I really do hope that you will stick with me, that you will hear what I have to say this morning. Because this isn't me just saying, you know what, I think that my religion is the best. This is me saying that God told us that he is the way. See, God writes through the people that wrote this book that Jesus is the king above all other kings, that he is the Lord above all other lords, that he is the one true God above all other gods, that he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. That is what he says. And this may sound hateful. This may sound unmerciful. But I want you to know that God's heart and the heart of those who truly follow him, they break for those who deny this. They don't gloat that, ha ha, we're right. But their hearts, our hearts, they bleed for those who have rejected this. They really do. And so know today that when I say that I believe in truth, in the truth, I'm not saying that to be hateful. I'm not saying that to say that what you believe is something that I'm laughing at. What I'm saying is that I can't get around the inescapable truth that God has truth, that God exists. I've experienced too much of him in my life to say otherwise. Today we're going to be looking at what God has to say about Jesus. And in fact, this launches off a series on the book of Hebrews. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews now, we're going to read in a moment. And if you want to follow along, take some notes digitally, and you have a mobile device here. I don't know that our internet is working right now, but if you've got cellular, you can go to ascc.life, and you'll see that there's a message notes card there where you can follow along and take your own notes and send them to yourself. So I encourage you to do that. So as you turn in the book of Hebrews, let me talk a little bit about what's going on here. Hebrews is not so much a letter as it is actually a sermon. See, I could technically pick up the book of Hebrews and just read it to you, except it was written to different people in a different time and place. And what the writer of Hebrews is addressing is what you could call theological shift. You see, there are certain things that when we come to Jesus that we accept, that we believe, that we are tasked to do. But what this person with a pastoral heart is hearing about as he's away and so unable to address these things in person is he's hearing that the message of salvation that was originally brought, that these churches had begun to buy into, that people were starting to slip away from it. Maybe it's that, you know, they were saying, well, you know, I really like the book of James, but it's challenging, so maybe we'll take that out. I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they're saying, you know, this section here, it doesn't feel good to me, so I'm going to ignore that. Maybe what they were doing is they were just thinking, you know, it's inconvenient to tell people about Jesus. Sometimes they get mad at me or they get offended, so maybe life will be easier if I let someone else do it. Maybe it is that they just began to lose their conviction on who Jesus was. Maybe they wanted to live their own way. Maybe they just got tired of Jesus being at the core of everything because they felt like they were missing out on some stuff. Whatever it was, the writer of Hebrews, he writes this thing telling people, come back to this. And so his central tenet as he looks at these things and tries to call people back to the faith that they grabbed onto originally is Jesus is greater. Jesus is amazing. And so in just a second, we're going to read from the beginning of the book of Hebrews, kind of a synopsis that we are given, a summary of what this preacher is about to say. And first, I want to invite you to join me in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us words like these, that you inspired people to write these words so that we could be challenged, so that we could be encouraged, and so that we could be built up in our faith. Lord, I ask that you will work in us today as we hear your words spoken. Lord, that you will work in us and compel us to challenge the things that we hear. And Lord, that if something doesn't sound right, that we will go back to the Bible and that we will study it for ourselves and see whether what is said today is right and true or not. And Lord, I ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and that you'll make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're going to read Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3 together. It'll also be on the screen here. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Now, obviously, this being a sermon, a letter, whatever you want to call it, the writer continues on from there. But I really want to focus in on this first part here today. And so what I want to look at is that the writer of Hebrews is basically giving us the reasons why. He's laying out his thesis, if you will, to put it in academic terms. And he's saying, Jesus is greater because. Jesus is the best because. Here's the qualifications that Jesus has. And so he says, Jesus is greater because God created the universe through Jesus. Jesus wasn't just some created being, but he was there at creation. The universe was created through him. He says Jesus is greater because Jesus is the Heavenly Father's Son, showing us what the Father looks like and of the same essence and being. He's the radiance of the Father's glory. When you look at the radiance of something, you experience, you see what that is. You experience the Father's glory when you experience Jesus Christ. He is of the exact same essence and being. This here, it comes down into the Christian ethic, the Christian viewpoint of God as Trinity. And this is a confusing thing where that says that God is one God, but he exists eternally in three persons. And that these three persons are distinct, but that they are so alike in purpose, that they are so alike in being and essential nature, that they are in fact just one God. And we think about that and we go, well, that's crazy. Nobody can be three and one at the same time. And really, yeah, it makes it, that's crazy. Who on earth would decide that they were going to write about a God who's like that? Who would make that up? And if you're thinking, yeah, who would make that up? You've just made my point. Because I don't think that anybody that's not insane would come up with that as their plan for what God is like. So I take that as a great comfort that the God is beyond me. But you see what the writer of Hebrews is affirming there. He's saying that Jesus is distinct from, but he is also the same as God. Jesus is greater because he is not only creator of the universe, but sustainer through his word. Think about this. What would happen if all of a sudden God was like, you know what? I'm done with this universe. Or what would happen if somehow God just disappeared? A lot of people think that, you know, even if God did create the universe, he's just left it alone and now it's just kind of floating out there and it's doing its own thing. But you see here, we see that not only did God create the universe, but he actually keeps it going by his very word. That he supports it, that he keeps it from just disintegrating into nothing. He is the sustaining force behind the universe. Jesus is greater because he provided for our forgiveness and our restoration. This world, it's a messed up world because when God created the first man, the first woman, he tasked them with a job. Take care of my world, and whatever you do, don't eat that fruit. But you know, they were tempted and told that, well, God doesn't want you to eat that fruit because then you'll become like him. Now, somebody told you that if you ate something, you would become like God. What would you do? But because they did that, they rejected God's authority and the world was thrown into chaos. And God enacted a plan to save us. Because when a creation goes wrong, what do? You usually would just destroy it and start over again, but God carried on. And so Jesus came to earth and he provided for our forgiveness on the cross, for our restoration into the life that we can have through Jesus. Jesus is greater because Jesus is alive and reigning alongside his Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven. He's not gone. He's not just some man. I want you to imagine with me, if you were a CEO of some multinational corporation and you're hiring for a position and the applications are coming in and everyone, you know, is outside your door that HR has kind of screened. And so in comes Jesus. And you pull up his resume. And you see, you know, oh, so Jesus Christ, okay, Son of God, created the universe. Yep, yeah, same essence with God. So you are God. Okay, cool. You keep the world together through your very word. Wow. Through you, I'm forgiven and I can have life and a relationship with God. Okay, and you are actually royalty. You know, at that point, you're probably pressing the intercom button saying, can you just clear the room? You can just send them all home. We don't need the other candidates. Here, you take my chair and I'll do the job we're hiring for. Right? He is qualified like no one else for anything there is out there. God is greater. Jesus is greater. And then the writer of Hebrews, he says, and Jesus is the ultimate word. Okay, we had the prophets before, and we've got people that, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, can speak a prophetic word now. But what they say, it's not the completion of what there is. The Old Testament was not the completion of God's revelation. He had more to tell us. And so Jesus came and showed us in person what God is like. He told us and showed us how to follow him. What could be better than God saying, look at me, this is how it works. The Apostle John writes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. See, the prophets spoke the words of God, but when Jesus came to earth, it was the word coming among us. Jesus is greater, and he is the ultimate word. You can go out there and listen to all the gurus. You know, you can go out there and listen to what everybody else has to say, but at the end of the day, are they God come to earth to speak directly to us? Where God spoke a word to the prophets during the Old Testament and still today through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is the word itself, come to be with humans, and through this word, salvation from a life devoid of life was given. I want to address something very briefly here. What on earth, how can we have a life devoid of life? You might be saying, Pastor Stephen, you're getting into that postmodernistic thinking that you were talking about earlier, you know, truth being relative. Oh, you know, I have life, but I do not have life. What's going on here? So I want you to just imagine that you bought a beautiful lamp. Beautiful lamp, like hundreds of dollars. It's spectacular. It's going to be the centerpiece of your living room. I don't know why you would make that a lamp, but it's going to be the centerpiece of your living room. You've bought the light bulb and you've screwed it in. You have a lamp. The lamp is a lamp. But there's a problem, because when you turn the little switch, nothing happens. It's devoid of the light that it's supposed to create. It's devoid of energy, of life. It is. It exists. It gets by. You know, you could look at it and say, that is a really nice lamp. It is the centerpiece of your living room. But functionally, it is missing something. It is missing power. And so suddenly someone comes down into your living room and at great personal sacrifice picks up the plug and says, you didn't plug it in. And he says, there's the plug. Now, if you believe what I'm saying, take the plug and plug it in. And then there'll be life. And so you plug the plug in, and suddenly that lamp is able to do what it was meant to do. It was always a lamp, but now it's a lamp that fulfills its purpose. You turn the thing, and not only is it beautiful to look at, but it provides light so you can see it in the dark. And friends, in many ways, that is like us. We've been created by God, and he looks at us with love, and he thinks that we are our beautiful creation. But we're devoid of the life, the energy that we were designed to have. We need to be plugged into the source, into our creator. We need that life-giving relationship with God that comes through belief in Jesus Christ. And when we have that, our light can shine in the darkness. Because Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, that the darkness is not overcome. And so today, let me ask you, who could be better to follow than Jesus? Look at his resume. Reread the first part of Hebrews there, and you tell me, is that not the resume of somebody that, you know, if he's telling the truth, he wins? Who better to follow than Jesus who provides that light and life? Who better to follow than Jesus who chose to live a life of suffering and death so that he could raise victorious over sin and death so that you could have that life? What could be better than following Jesus? And many of you are thinking there like, yes, exactly. Tell it to them. Because I'm there. So I want to offer you kind of a closing challenge. I think oftentimes we think that, yes, you know, I prayed a prayer, I said these things, and so I'm right with God. Jesus is the one that I'm following. Or, you know, we get up early in the morning and we tick Jesus off of our list. I prayed today. Yay! But Jesus doesn't want to be an item on your list. He wants to be at the center of who you are. He wants to be at the center of all that you do. And so one of the things that I challenge you to do, and I've done this myself, is look at your schedule and ask yourself, what is it that you actually have your life revolving around? Who are you actually following? Because you see, God in our lives isn't always some supernatural being. Sometimes God looks a lot like me, looks a lot like you. In your life, sometimes God looks a lot like success. Sometimes God is 3 feet high and runs chaotic over everything in your life. But your schedule will show who it is that you follow. Do you follow Jesus or do you follow whatever else? Failing your schedule or maybe even above your schedule, actions show who we follow. If your actions are not continually being made more Christ-like each and every day over a period of time, then maybe, just maybe, if you're just like, I'm happy with who I am. I'm not going to get into it because we just had a 3-week series on this. But actions will show who's in charge of your life. Who takes the priority in your life. And so if you're here today and you're like, okay, Jesus is greater, and I do want to follow him. I want him to be at the center of my life. You know, I thought I had been following him, but I'm not sure. Then I want you to do what's already on the screen behind me today. And if it takes longer than today, maybe make this a weekly thing in your life. Ask yourself, who or what shapes the makeup of my life? Notice I'm not saying, is Jesus somewhere in my schedule, but who or what shapes the makeup of my life? Who is the hub that all the spokes radiate from in the tire of life? Or the wheel of life? Who is it? And if it's not Jesus and you want it to be Jesus, then it may be time to, number one, get down on your knees and ask him what you can do. And then number two, begin to reframe your life a little bit. Ask yourself who's taken precedence over him.
Maybe you're listening and you've been seeking Jesus for a while, trying to make sense of who he is and what he's all about. I want you to know that God, in his infinite love, has been pursuing you. God wants to have a life-giving relationship with you.
But the fact is that every person is born with a rebellious heart and is separated from the life that only comes through a true relationship with their Creator. So God did something magnificent. He knew that we could not repair the broken relationship ourselves, so He came to us. And we're told that while we were still sinners in active rebellion against God, Jesus Christ died for us. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." So, if you're ready to have that newfound life through a relationship with Jesus, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Master and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. As you dedicate your life to following Christ Jesus, you will receive forgiveness for your sins, and you will be adopted into the family of God. Let's pray. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequences of my sin. However, I'm trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I believe that his death and resurrection provided for my forgiveness. I trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as my Master and my Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and forgiving me. Help me to leave my old ways behind and to live as you would have me live from this time forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer from your heart, I want to welcome you into the family of God. Your next step is to connect with a local church so that you can be shown how to grow in this new relationship with Jesus. I would love to help you take the next step and to put helpful resources in your hands. Will you let me know that you made a decision today by going to ascc.life and tapping I have decided? Again, that's ascc.life. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next week for more Bible-based encouragement.